Grammar Girl here. I'm always on the lookout for hot grammar news, and this week we had some. Twitter went crazy with the news that the Oxford University Press had changed their style guide to drop the Oxford comma. It turns out it was a false alarm. I'll tell you what happened, how to use the serial comma, and what I think is most interesting, who invented the serial comma. But before we find out, I want to tell you about this week's sponsor, Shopify. They make it easy to sell your own stuff online, and you can sell almost anything. People are using Shopify to sell iPad cases, purses, coffee beans, and Angry Birds plush toys. CNET says, quote, Shopify has a super clean design that makes setting up a store incredibly easy, unquote. Give it a try. Use my code YFE to get a 60-day free trial. That's long enough to see if people actually want to buy your stuff. The code doesn't stand for anything, but let's imagine it means your first e-commerce. YFE at Shopify.com. Okay, back to the comma. So we're all on the same page. I'll review the serial comma first. When you put a comma before the word and in a list, in a series, it's called a serial comma. For example, if you write squiggly, comma, aardvark, comma, and grammar girl, that comma after aardvark and before and is the serial comma. Some people use the serial comma and some don't. I prefer to use the serial comma because I believe it adds clarity, but it's a style choice. For example, the Chicago Manual of Style recommends using the serial comma, but the style book for the Associated Press recommends leaving the comma out unless doing so would make a sentence confusing. If you want more details and examples of how to use a serial comma, I also covered it in episode 256. So, what was the hullabaloo last week about the comma? Well, the serial comma is also known as the Oxford comma, because using the serial comma is the style recommended by the influential Oxford University Press. But an anonymous Twitter user known as Ranty Editor discovered and linked to an online style guide on a University of Oxford website that recommended against using the Oxford comma. It would be a pretty big deal if the Oxford University Press came out against the comma that bears its name, and it was upsetting to a lot of editors and writers who started commenting about it. The publishing website Gallycat quickly noticed the outcry and wrote a short blog post about it. From the web page with the advice, it looks as if it's the style for the whole university. But when you download the PDF of the whole style guide, it then becomes clear that it's only the style guide for the Public Affairs Directorate, which I believe is the equivalent of a PR department in the United States. The Oxford University Press quickly responded that they do indeed still use the Oxford comma, and by the next day, Gallycat had posted a correction. By the way, the name Oxford comma is newer than you might think. The Oxford English Dictionary shows the first printed use of the term in 1978, although it's likely that it had already been used among editors for at least a few years before it showed up in print. And here's the part I think is most interesting. The first style book to recommend using the serial comma came out in 1905 in England, and Strunk's first edition of The Elements of Style, which came out a few years later in America in 1918, also recommended the serial comma. The 1905 book credited with establishing the serial comma rule is Author and Printer, a guide for authors, editors, printers, correctors of the press, compositors, and typists by Francis Howard Collins. And it appears that Collins and his famous biologist philosopher friend, Herbert Spencer, hashed out the idea of the serial comma in a personal correspondence that Collins later quoted in his book. Collins and Spencer didn't give it the name serial comma or Oxford comma. Instead, Collins addressed the point in an entry about the word and, with the heading and or comma and. Here's what that entry says. Quote, the late Herbert Spencer allowed me to quote from his letter, and now Collins quotes Spencer. Whether to write black comma white comma and green, with the comma after white, or to leave out the comma and write black, comma, white, and green, I feel very decidedly in favor of the first. To me, the comma is a value in marking out the component elements of a thought, and where any set of component elements are of equal value, they should be punctuated in printing and in speech equally. Evidently, therefore, in this case, inasmuch as when enumerating these colors, black, white, and green, the white is just as much to be emphasized as the other two. It needs the pause after it just as much as black does. If you'd like to see the entry for yourself, I put a link in this article at quickanddirtytips.com to the scan of the manuscript in Google Books. I think it's really cool to be able to see these historical documents. An interesting side note is that Spencer is also credited with coining the phrase survival of the fittest. So, as far as we know, that's the origin of the serial comma rule. It originally had to do with giving each element equal weight rather than being valued for adding clarity to lists. Either way, I'm glad Oxford University Press is still using it. Thanks again to our sponsor, Shopify. Remember to use the code YFE to get a free 60-day trial. And I have a big favor to ask you, big! My new book, 101 Misused Words You'll Never Confuse Again, has a chance to make the New York Times bestseller list this week, but it's only sales through Saturday, July 9th that will count. So if this book sounds interesting to you, if you're thinking of buying it, please buy it before Saturday night. Of course, I won't complain if you buy it later, but I would be deliriously happy if this book makes the list, and it's not a slam dunk. It's going to be really close. So please buy 101 Misused Words You'll Never Confuse Again by Saturday night. And if it makes it, you'll be able to say your purchase helped the book make the list. That's all. Thanks for listening.